Well, so Simon, let me begin by asking you about the Middle East, which is a big topic of discussion today. I know in the AUKMIN talks, both the UK and Australia have committed military force to fighting ISIS in the Middle East. Let me ask you firstly, quickly, what's your assessment of the way that campaign is going? And ultimately, what's the UK's aim in this military operation against ISIS?
Well, first of all, I'd like to start by saying that across the Middle East, we are living through a prolonged period of instability, which I think we have to expect to continue. The campaign against ISIL, as we call it in the UK, is part of that and a very important focus at the moment, obviously. I'm really pleased that we're cooperating in that effort, particularly in Iraq, where Australia is present, and we are participating in the air effort. The objective of that campaign is, of course, in the end, to push back ISIL, certainly out of Iraq, and to degrade ISIL's capability, because it is a thoroughly pernicious and unpleasant organization propagating a sort of terrorism which we cannot accept and which we have a shared interest in countering.
So ultimately then, what's the largest strategic aim in the Middle East? Let's say ISIL is defeated. What then in Syria?
Well, ISIL will be defeated in the end. It will take time and we'll have to persevere, but I'm confident that we will defeat ISIL. I mean, the objective in the Middle East, of course, is to try to re-establish stability in the region and peace. And the objective in Syria in particular, since you mentioned it, is to achieve conditions in which there can be a transition of power and the restoration of a functioning state in the interest of the Syrian people. Let's not forget that the humanitarian crisis in both Syria and Iraq is now really acute. We have a really immediate priority to tackle that. And that, again, is an area where Australia and the UK have been cooperating well.
And I know you talked a lot today about the threat of foreign fighters returning to home soil after fighting in Iraq and Syria. What's your assessment of that threat right now? Has it peaked? Have we got a lot to go before we overcome this problem?
I think we have to continue to take this threat really seriously. I mean, we in the UK have had a number of people who have gone out there, probably in the region of 500, and of course some of them have come back, and that is an acute problem for our own society and our own country. And the same, I think, applies in Australia. So we want to prevent these people going there, but we also want to make sure that they don't return and pose a domestic security threat in our homeland, and we need to continue to cooperate closely on that as well. What happens in the Middle East affects us on the streets of our own countries, as you have seen only too tragically here in Australia, and as we have also experienced in our country.
Let me ask you about the Ukraine. I know this was raised today in the Australian context. There was, the MH17 tragedy, which drew us into that conflict. Can you describe at the moment, given we're seeing again more headlines about Russian assertiveness there, Russian troops in the Ukraine, how do you describe the state of UK-Russia relations?
Well, obviously, the Ukraine preoccupies us a lot. We believe that Ukraine must be supported, that the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine should be defended, and that the actions that have been undertaken by Russia in annexing Crimea and destabilizing Ukraine are unacceptable. This has led to a re-evaluation of our wider relationship with Russia. Clearly, those behaviors by Russia suggest that Russia is not willing to act in a sort of collaborative and partnership fashion with us, and we've had to take that into account. But of course, we still want to keep open the opportunity to foster a better relationship with Russia, whilst being absolutely firm in resisting the unacceptable behaviour that we've seen in Ukraine. That's why we in the UK have been championing economic sanctions against Russia in the European Union and more widely, and we believe very firmly that those sanctions must be maintained so long as Russia's behaviour continues to be as unacceptable as it is at present.
Now, just finally, Sir Simon, I noticed today that the joint statement from the AUKMIN talks runs to a grand total of 6 paragraphs. Is there enough ballast in this relationship? I know ministerial time is extremely valuable. Is there enough in this relationship to sustain yearly talks?
Well, I have a general rule that the value of a meeting is usually in inverse proportion to the length of the formal communique that comes out of the meeting. So the fact that we have a short communique is indicative of my, in my view, of the value of the meeting itself. We focused on the substance. The discussions were extremely open and free-flowing, and I think that was a very positive thing. And I do believe, actually, that the Altman process, which is now in its seventh year, is actually has actually achieved a thickening of the relationship. People know each other. This is the fourth time that I've been to Altman, and I know the people sitting around the table, and they know me, and we've had an experience of working together. And I think that's really important. It underpins the relationship, and it means that at the political level, there's more openness, there's greater confidence. We had really good discussions on the Asian region, on the Middle East, on Russia, on our bilateral cooperation in the diplomatic and defence fields, and I thought there was real substance in it. So I thought it was a good meeting, and I think the process is valuable.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.